In yesterday's video, I talked about three different reasons why we should all do penance, because we're born into sin, we have debt, and we want to grow in wealth, and because we need to imitate Jesus Christ. That's what he did. In today's video, I want to talk about 10 different penances aside from fasting that you could do to grow in holiness. If you'd like to support this channel in any way, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. Before I get into those 10 ways, I want to talk about some questions that people have been asking. People have been saying, can I do these other things to replace penance? Everything that we do in the spiritual life is part of a whole. Things like indulgences and different prayers and others of these types of things, they serve to help us eliminate the debt. They don't increase our merit or necessarily help us grow in holiness. Let me give you an example. The Divine Mercy Promise. The only thing that it promises is a complete erasing of debt and punishment, meaning your debt, what you owe to God, is completely gone. It doesn't promise an increase in holiness. It doesn't promise an increase in merit. It doesn't promise an increase in obtaining things. This is where penance, and the Blessed Mother speaks about this yesterday, it's not only to pay off debt, which God wants us to do, God also wants us to grow in merit and in spiritual wealth, as she put it, obtaining graces, obtaining new gifts, obtaining conversions of other people. And it also doesn't help us imitate Christ. He did penance. We should also. It's part of our Christian discipleship. One more topic. Sometimes people get into the issue of authority and a spiritual director. How much penance should I do? Even religious, even back in the day, had a difficult time finding an appropriate spiritual director. They had the benefit of the vow of obedience. They would go into a religious community. They would have assigned spiritual directors. But even then, you had to pray for your spiritual director, because just because you were under them in obedience didn't mean that they were directing you well. So for us as lay people, we do not have the protection of obedience in the same way, because if you pick a spiritual director, guess who picked it? You. So it can get a little bit difficult there. So we have to discern, pick a good spiritual director, and then pray for them and know that even then, they may not guide us very well. We have to discern this on our own, because there isn't much guidance in these times in terms of these things like penance. So I'm going to give you 10 different things from ordinary life, from the example and the life of Jesus and Mary, as well as from the life of a penitent Franciscan saint, Saint Margaret of Cortona. Let's get right into it. The first type of penance that you can do is joyfully accepting the sufferings that are already there in your day. Many of you do this in a variety of ways. The most common example is the daily offering or the morning offering. Essentially, you're looking at your day and you're joyfully accepting everything that may come, and you're uniting it to the sufferings of Jesus as penance. All of us should do this. You could do this every day. You said it, you forget it, there you go. Whatever sufferings come your way, you don't look for them, you don't ask for them, simply the ones that are naturally built into your life. These can be things like illnesses, growing old, the weather, many such things. This is an easy thing that everyone can do. The second one is something that we all can do, but it's going to be dangerous. If you're trying to do penance safely, you're in the wrong place. If you look at all these different saints, St. Francis of Assisi, St. of Padua, St. Faustina, all these different saints, St. Therese, notice one thing about them. They all died young. And in many of their biographies or autobiographies, they will say they died at, for instance, the age of 42 due to many austerities and fastings. Have you ever read that? So that means because of all their penances, they died before, I guess, old age. So if you're wanting to do penance and trying to be safe about it, you may want to reconsider. This is not something that you do to live a long time. This is something that you do to grow in holiness. So number two is ask God to to send you penances. Be careful for this one. Let me remind you of the story of Zachary King. Someone told him that he was being prideful. He asked his friends. They said, we don't think you are. Well, he said, well, in case I am, he asked God, God, can you humble me? Another way that you can phrase that is, send me some penance. The next day, both his retinas detached, and now he's partially, if not completely, blind. So before you ask God for penance, know that he's extremely generous, and he may send you a lot more that you bargain for. The third way that you could do penance in your daily life is to add tiny little sufferings that no one can see in all your little things. Let me give you some examples. Suppose you take your coffee and you like cream and 2 packets of sugar. Instead of 2 packets, do 1. Instead of cream, do no cream. Suppose you like your food well seasoned or spicy. Take it bland, or make it very spicy or very unspicy, or pick the least thing that you like. Another thing that you can do is perhaps there's a person that you live nearby and you don't like them very much. Spend extra close time to the people you don't like. Stay away from the people that you do. And any such things, any little inconveniences in your life that you could slightly increase the pain level, these are perfectly acceptable, reasonable things that you can do to bump up the penance in your life. You'll find them throughout your entire day. The more joyfully you accept them, the more you unite them to the sufferings of Jesus, the more valuable they will be, and no one will even know that you're doing them. The fourth one, and this is for you that are married, have more children. If you want lots of penance, have more children. This is one of the beautiful blessings that children provide. Some of you maybe are finding that this is insulting, but for those of you that have children, that you know the difficulty that they bring, that's a beautiful gift, and God sees penance as a gift, and it's the way to heaven. In fact, let me share this one story with you. This friend of mine, and she had 4 children, I believe, maybe even 6, but God wanted her to have more, and she refused. One time, she was in Medjugorje, and she was carrying these heavy sacks of potatoes or something. I don't know what it was that she was carrying, but it was a heavy sack of something up Cross Mountain. Now, as she was climbing Cross Mountain carrying that heavy sack, the Lord revealed to her in her heart, you're doing penance for all the children you did not carry. So you see, part of the point of penance is to birth life in us and in other people, to help us, for instance, to be better parents, people that can carry pain for the sake of the benefit of other people. That's kind of the goal of penance. To have this kind of fertile parenthood, spiritually speaking. To have more children is an incredibly wonderful way to increase the penance in your life. Now we're going to get into some examples from the life of Jesus and Mary from the mystical city of God, the same chapter before the reading that I read to you from yesterday's video. Listen to this. A fifth way that you can do penance is by retiring in solitude for the sake of prayer. This will be especially difficult for you that are extroverts. It says, by his retirement, Christ our Lord began to conquer and taught us to conquer the world. What does this mean? That in retiring to be away with God, we are essentially saying, world, I don't need you. The news, all those things, the fame, the glory, the pride of life, I don't need you. All that I need is God. Penance always has the goal of growing us in holiness, growing us closer to God. And for many of us, retiring away from things can be painful. It could be lonely. It could be difficult because we're away from our creature comforts. It ends us growing us much more close to God in that solitude. A sixth type of penance is to pray on the ground, prostrate. This position is an imitation of something that Jesus did often. Listen to this. In deepest humility, he, Jesus Christ, prostrated himself upon the ground, which was always the prelude of his prayer and that of his most blessed mother. He praised the eternal Father and gave him thanks for the works of his divine right hand and for having, according to his pleasure, afforded him this retirement. This was a prayer position that he often did. And this is probably one of the prayer positions that he prayed the most in. And the Blessed Mother, who could, according to this mystic, see everything that Jesus was doing, and she would imitate him and do it at the exact same time that he was doing it, that's how faithful she was, would in the same way prostrate in the form of a cross. Other saints have done this. This could be penitential. It's humbling. It's placing ourselves on the ground. Do it. Do it, especially without others looking. Don't do it to gain attention. Don't do it to draw attention to yourself from other people or to distract others while they're praying. Do it in solitude, humbling yourself before the Lord. And when you do it, think of Jesus doing it as well in the desert and unite yourself to his sufferings and to his humility. A seventh way that we could do penance in imitation of Jesus Christ is to think of different vices that we and others have and to practice the virtues that are contrary. Listen to this. He satisfied the offenses committed through them by the exercises of the virtues contrary to them. Jesus Christ wished to pay our debts. In satisfaction for our pride, he offered his profound humility, such as prostrations. For our avarice, his voluntary poverty and total privation of all that was his. For our base and lustful inclinations, his penance and austerity. For our hastiness and vengeful anger, his meekness and charity towards his enemies. For our negligence and laziness, his ceaseless labors. For our deceitfulness and our envy, his candid and upright sincerity and truthfulness, and the sweetness of his loving intercourse. So you see how here penance can be aimed specifically at paying the debt of specific sins in you and in other people. And at the same time that you're paying the debt, you're also growing in wealth, because this act of virtue grows your virtue and is meritorious before the Lord, especially when united with the actions and the sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ. An eighth way that we could do penance is by copying another prayer position that Jesus did, genuflections. Listen to this. While the Savior was in the desert, he made every day 300 genuflections, which also was done by our Queen Mary in her oratory. Now, at first you may hear genuflections. How could this be important? But if Jesus did it and Our Lady imitated it, and then she says that we do penance to imitate the life of Jesus, to shape ourselves to look like him, we should do it too. How many are you going to do? Maybe one a day, maybe two. Maybe you're going to strive to do 300. Why did he do 300? I don't know. Perhaps someone can comment down below. But this is a prayer position, and I have actually spoken to people who are in the Eastern Rite churches that have several sort of prayer exercises. I remember someone, it looked like actual exercise to me, where they would essentially say some sort of prayer and do a genuflection and stand up. I think they may even have done a genuflection and then a prostration on the ground and then stood up. But it was kind of like a cycle of physical movement that would have with it a type of prayer. If you find out what this is, comment down below, because this is something that we could do. This obviously would become very penitential very quickly. When you do it, offer it in union with the sufferings of Jesus, and offer it for those that commit the sin of laziness, because this takes a lot of discipline and diligence, and it atones for this sin perfectly. The next few examples of acts of penance are going to be quite rough, but these are actually very traditional and very common among the mystics and especially the penitents. Here are some examples from the life of St. Margaret of Cortona. Number 9 is to deprive yourself of some sort of sleep, or to sleep in ways that are uncomfortable. Listen to this. No one was ever so greedy for gold as Margaret was for denying her body. Hear that. She was greedy for denying her body. That's the right attitude. To facilitate her night vigils, she used to lay her head, worn out as it was by fasting and weeping, on a stone or a piece of wood. This is incredibly common. You will hear that saints will sleep on the floor. They will sleep on wooden planks. They will sleep on all types of what we would call torture devices to make their sleep uncomfortable, as if to punish their bodies for even needing to sleep because they would rather pray. It might be the case that you should practice these other first eight types of penances before you make it to this one, but sleeping on the floor is actually not that uncommon. With some of these penances, something that you can consider is that there are already people right now that simply because of where they live and their poverty are already living out penitential lives. So the next time that you sleep on the floor and feel sorry for yourself, know that maybe half the world's population already does this. So don't pat yourself on the back just yet. And doing these penances, chances are there's other people that aren't even religious that are living more rigorous lives. Let's go on to the next one. The ninth form of penance that we can do is internal sorrow, compunction, and tears. St. Margaret of Cortona, and she was, I believe, a Third Order Franciscan, followed in the footsteps of her father and master, St. Francis of Assisi, who wept so much that he went partially blind. Maybe similarly to Zachary King, or Zachary King like St. Francis of Assisi. Listen to this. Staying awake, she would spend the night from the first watch to the ninth hour in prayer and bitter tears. So anguished with weeping, she would sigh to such a degree that she was afraid that she might die, very often losing her voice and her senses, and would remain almost lifeless. I told you, doing penance is dangerous. Warning. Tears is something that you could probably elicit on your own, meditating on the sufferings of Jesus, thinking about the sins of the world, meditating on such themes such as purgatory and its pain, the fact that people are eternally in hell. But you will find tears more fruitful if you ask for it as a gift from the Holy Spirit. Warning, if you ask the Holy Spirit to give you the gift of tears, he may give you the gift of tears. And you might find yourself weeping for your sins and the sins of others anywhere and everywhere, and you may not be able to control it. However, this is a powerful gift that is incredibly penitential, and it moves the heart of God. This is one of those penances that is both purifying, but also at the same time increases your merit and powerful as a form of prayer. My friends, these are 10 powerful ways that you could increase the penance in your life. When you start doing penance, you will find beautiful fruits in your life. There are so many other ways that we can take on voluntarily sufferings in our life, small ways, medium ways, incredibly large ways. If you have any suggestions, put them down below. Ones that you found fruitful. If you don't want to reveal that you're someone that does them, just put it out there as a suggestion. If this is a video topic that you've really found helpful, please comment down below. Let's maybe make this a series. Please subscribe, like the video, and support this channel through Buy Me a Coffee. I'll see you in the next one.